Welcome to Lightning Within 5. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, alongside
Staff Sergeant Stefan Alvarez.
Senior Airman Jacob Dostas.
You're listening to Tyndall's first ever podcast. Welcome back, Lightning Within 5 listeners. I'm your host, Jennifer Jensen, and I am here with the Command Chief of Tyndall Air Force Base, the man with the plan, Chief Wayne Sharp.
Awesome. Happy to be here.
All right, sir. Let's jump into some questions for you. First of all, how's your week going?
So far, it's been a great week. One of my less busier weeks. It's kind of knock on some wood when I say that, but this has been a week where I've been able to get caught up on a lot of stuff that I needed to get done. So I'm looking forward to the end of the year. I think this is kind of like that icing on the cake where things kind of slow down just a little bit. I've been able to get caught up on some things. And so the week itself has been great overall.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because I've seen your schedule and it is gross. It makes me have a headache just looking at it.
Me too.
So you have such, I've heard your backstory. So like when you came in, you initially are security forces. Like, did you at any point when you were a baby airman think that you were going to become a command chief?
I never even thought I'd become a staff sergeant, to be perfectly honest with you. My story, it's kind of interesting because I tell younger airmen all the time that I truly didn't even get vested into the Air Force, truly understand what my job was until I was about 12 years in.
Yeah.
And so you kind of grow, you know. I never even thought I was going to become a command chief until I became one.
Yeah.
Even after I got hired, I was still like, I cannot believe. And I still have moments today, even during this time, where I still look myself in the mirror like, man, you're going to be the Tyndall command chief, not just the command chief, but a lot of people wanted to come here. And so,
oh yeah,
just the fact of command chief is awesome, but being the Tyndall Air Force Base command chief is like even bigger because I know this is such a sought after base. So
yeah. And you've had a rough year. I mean, not like bad, but like you have had a lot dumped on you. Like we've talked to Colonel Watkins about the rebuild and the F-35s. That is a lot for the leaders to have to go through. And just from our PA perspective, you guys were dumping media interviews on you. We're trying to get articles written about you guys. It's consuming. Like, how has this year been different than your previous chief years?
For me, I think the biggest challenge here has really not really been the rebuild or the media or anything. It's really been changing hearts and minds and mindsets. Because, I mean, a lot of times we talk about, you know, COVID and what it did for the Air Force as a whole and in work centers because people aren't talking. But we have to add on top of that a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
So not only were people not talking and communicating from the perspective of COVID, but you go back another couple years, we weren't talking even in buildings.
Yeah.
And so a lot of those people are still here and still trying to, you know, kind of rebuild and do. So we're talking about mindset. So that would, for me, has been my biggest focus is it's okay to speak to somebody when you walk by them in the commissary and say hi. It's okay to say hello if you go to the med group and they're waiting at the pharmacy for your pharmaceuticals. But when I first got here, that wasn't really happening.
Yeah.
You know, people were walking with their heads down. There was no smiles. Mm-hmm. And so to me, you know, and something I've talked about with Colonel Watkins on many occasions is, talk a lot about base of the future, but what about people of the future?
Yeah.
So that really has been my biggest focus and challenge at the same time.
Yeah, right. Chief, I was going to say, because it does seem like it's been something that you guys have really been focusing on, especially when you came to us not too long ago and you really wanted to press like the commander's action line, you know, really getting like that information out there. How did that like idea kind of come up? You know, because it seems like it kind of runs parallel with trying to know how the base is feeling, how people are doing. Is that kind of where you went with that idea?
Absolutely. We're focusing on if what we're doing is having any type of impact.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, things tend to get routed,
yeah,
you know, in an Air Force. Like, and it takes a long time for that information to get to the person that can have the true impact on it. So the commander's action line, for example, was just a way to have direct contact and immediate action and response to issues around the installation. Because we know they're out there. And a lot of times people talk about them in their small pockets, but they know that they think that nothing is ever going to come of it because it's not going to make it. And a lot of times our issues get stopped at a certain level just because, one, maybe you don't want that characterization of there being an issue, but we want that to come out because we want to fix those problems. And so that was just an opportunity for us to divide, you know, to provide direct contact to Colonel Watkins for him to be aware of issues.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people on base are also like, I don't want to say scared, but like hesitant to bring you guys issues just because of who you are, which is crazy because you're just like, you are an airman, right? You're just higher up and you still care. You genuinely care about the airmen. You've done so much for just the Tyndall Airmen this year that I think it's not sad, but it's kind of concerning that they're afraid to address things.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I've said this and I've told people many times, like, I'll be 26 years in February. And I say all that to say is, like, I don't have to do this anymore. I could retire right now.
Yeah.
I could push the button to retire. But I do it because I still care. I still feel as though I can have an impact to make life better. My sole job, I'm not a pilot. Mm-hmm. And actually, at this point, I'm not a defender, but I am a person who's responsible for quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And Colonel Watkins' his number one priority is building resilient airmen and families. That, for me, as one of his intents, has been my number one focus. And if I'm not positively impacting that, I'm not doing my job well.
Right.
And so, really, the messaging in all of what I just said is that, hey, please let me know. Please talk to me. I don't feel like I've presented myself to be unapproachable. As a matter of fact, you know, I spend many times talking by lettuce.
Yeah.
At the commissary, chit-chatting about you name it. But at the end of the day, I tell people all the time, if you really need something, just come by the office.
Yeah.
I see everybody. And I've never turned anybody away. Obviously, I've had to make people wait a couple times, but that's just the factors of being a command chief. But never turned anybody away. And so I just want to make sure that message gets out there.
Yeah. I think, in my personal opinion, you're one of the most professional but laid back and easy to talk to chiefs I've ever met, and that's saying something because I've been in this for a while. But I think Tyndall Airmen are very lucky to have you. Like, you've done projects like the Airman's Attic, right, and the food pantry, because everybody is struggling right now, but our airmen are really struggling in these financial hardships. So I think those two, I mean, you made it a personal mission, correct, to get those up and running since the hurricane knocked out both of those things for us.
Yeah, and there was a lot of people that could be thanked by, through that. Colonel Cable, our Vice Wing Commander, says it all the time, hey, we got to stop suffering in silence, you know. And so it was a mission of mine, but we had a ton of people that put in a lot of their personal time to make those things happen. And so, especially the Alexis, I like to say the Alexis family and Airman Silas, those individuals, I mean, they killed it. I mean, they still stay committed to that even to this day.
Yeah.
And then obviously our first Sergeant Council and Master Sergeant Olson, when they started working on the food pantry, and that's getting used.
Okay.
And it's no names taken type thing. We don't need to keep record. We're not sitting here trying to say, hey, for an EPR bullet, we gave out 4,000 pounds of food. No, this is for the sake of taking care of our people. We're just here to help, period.
Yeah.
That's it. And so other things that are kind of getting another spin back up is our Airmen Against Drunk Driving program. I wish it was a little more publicized, but it's getting used. So we have a good team of people doing that too. So there's other things in the works that I'm hoping that we can get after here in at least, I've got 6 months or so left here. And I mean, time's flown by the way.
Yeah.
But I hope that we can have some impact in our housing area to provide some quality of life upgrades for them. I'm really happy with our dorm leaders. They were able to get a micro market in the dorms.
That's so cool.
It's a big deal. It's a huge deal because, you know, here at Tyndall, after 7:30, after the DFAT closes, there are no food options for 6 miles.
Yep.
And so to have something, maybe it's not the most healthiest of options, and maybe, you know, maybe it's lots of sodium, or I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they have something, and it's doing really well, super popular. They've been refilling every couple of days. And so
with
that being said, I'm hoping for our maintainers across the line that we can get something for them.
Yeah,
I know our FSS is working on an option to be able to have hot meals for them on the other side of the line. They're come up with a plan, and hopefully that comes to fruition here in the near future.
So you're also involved with, you know, yes, the whole rebuild thing, but the brand new dorms, and we need them so bad. Weren't the old dorms like flooding right after Hurricane Michael? Like every time it rained, we would have dorm rooms flood and everyone would have to move out. So these brand new dorms are going to be really great for our airmen.
They absolutely are. I'm really excited about them. I think one of the biggest upgrades that a lot of people don't think about is like in our current dorms, you know, you can control your air, but you can't control your air.
Yeah.
In the new dorms, you're going to be able to control your air.
Oh, you
know?
Wow.
And so I think, you know, where they're limited to like 75 degrees right now, I think they'll be able to go a lot lower.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be just like a normal house. The other thing that I think is awesome, 480 rooms coming online. But the big thing, I mean, I don't know of one dorm in the entire DOD that has a fireplace.
What? We have a fireplace?
It's going to have a central fireplace.
This sounds about a little dangerous.
I don't know what kind of fireplace. It might be. You know, here's the thing. Here's one of the points. I've said it a few times because, you know, we also have the balcony coming.
Right.
Is I say, okay, most of our airmen right now, they're moving out of the dorms at 6 to 8 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
It's crazy, but the reality of it is it's a possibility that can happen.
Yeah.
And we have to trust that they're going to be able to move into potentially a house that has a fireplace.
That's true.
That has a balcony.
You're not wrong.
So they're adults. Now, mm-hmm. granted, crazy things are going to happen, but they're going to happen anywhere. They can happen anywhere. If we have an opportunity to provide an upgraded installation of the future facility, such as dormitories where there's a gas fireplace,
mm-hmm.
a gas stove,
mm-hmm.
gas dryers, and gas, all this other stuff. Why can't we do something that, like a fireplace, where we have to make sure, well, obviously there's going to be safety mechanisms and things of that nature.
Right.
You know, timers probably. But at the end of the day, these are state-of-the-art dorms, and I'm super excited about the fact that they get to come here, and we'll be the first ones to hopefully set the bar for what quality of life should look like.
Yeah. Do they have elevators?
They do have elevators.
Oh my gosh.
They've got elevators.
I had to trek up like 4 flights of stairs with groceries. It was not pleasant. It was not.
Those were the days.
So here's the interesting thing. They told me the story on the elevator. So they had to get a waiver to get these. I think the rule is that dorms have to be at least 6 stories. I believe these are 5.
Mm. Oh.
And
oh my God,
in
can
order,
you imagine?
They had to get a waiver to get the elevators installed because they're one floor short of what the standard is for installing elevators. But we got them, so we're good.
Yeah.
We got them.
That's right.
Face of the future.
Tyndall's going to have the best dorms in DOD.
That's right. That's right.
That balcony, I saw the Hololab graphics for that. That's going to be so cool.
That little square outdoor hangout area.
Yeah,
thing.
It's got fake grass, but it has a huge, like, what is it, like 8 feet tall glass, but you can see the bay, which is so crazy. The dorms I lived in, I could see like tumbleweeds. That was about my view. So
I got to go up there a couple weeks ago. I got to go check out the balcony, and I'll tell you, It's a great view. Both sides. I mean, I actually prefer the view of the flight line better because you can still see a little bit of the bay.
Yeah.
But you also see the planes taking off, right? It's like 3D almost. It looks great.
I always forget that there's water on the other side of the flight line. We are completely surrounded. We're on a peninsula. So.
Sure. And I'm sure there's sharks too.
Is there anything that in particular that you want to talk about? Like, mission-wise?
I think more than mission for me, what I'm, you know, with the holidays coming up.
Yeah.
I really wanted to focus on making sure the airmen take care of themselves. One, you know, from a perspective of mental health.
Yes.
A lot of people, they're away from home. They're not getting a chance to go home. So really just messaging to the supervisors, don't forget about your airmen that might be alone. Reach out to them, check on them. Also, to those airmen, you know, let them, you know, for me, if there's anything I can do to help them if they needed a place to go, if they just want to get out, if they want to hang out. I don't, you know, care. But, and I know supervisors are doing a good job of making sure that's the case. And traditionally we do. But what I don't want to happen is somebody just sit in their dorm room and feel lonely.
Yeah.
You know, and so I also talk about, wanted to kind of just hit on rest and recovery.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a busy year for Tyndall. It's been a busy year for the Air Force as a whole. We're kind of transitioning. You know, we talk about, inflection points. And right now we're at one where we're kind of changing mission sets. And so as you continue to pace yourself and run, and Tyndall develops a new F-35 mission and we're getting that off the ground, there still needs to be some time for self-care and just sitting down and kind of just taking care of yourself and reflecting on what you've done, because at the beginning of next year, we're going to have to start running again.
Yeah.
But we're at a point right now where we can kind of ease back, relax. Hey, start taking some leave, focus on self-care, focus on, you know, just kind of recuperating.
Yeah.
Because the marathon continues next year in January. And we got a lot of great stuff coming up between now. We've got events for days planned and combat dining outs. And
oh, my God, that was so fun.
I'm looking right now, something I'm kind of starting the process on. We're working on the team to get this together. We're going to bring Tyndall an NCO induction. So instead of a senior NCO induction, we always focus on the top three, right?
Yeah.
But it's just as important to be a non-commissioned, to get selected to be a non-commissioned officer.
Absolutely.
I would say it's probably even more important.
Yes.
Because it's a huge transition. And so we're developing that team right now. And hopefully May-ish timeframe, we'll actually have an NCO induction ceremony. It's going to be like, you know, kind of in line with what the Army does, but we gonna snazz it up Tyndall style a little bit.
Nice.
Might throw some neon lights, some smoke in there. You walk through the gauntlet. You got to jump over the broomstick or something. I don't know. We're going to come up with something.
We're going to
make it special, and hopefully it becomes a tradition that we pay the proper respects to our new NCOs from here forward.
That's so cool. That's right, because they got to let the E4 Mafia go, you know?
Hey, let it go.
Bigger and better. Not you, Dosses. You're forever E4 Mafia. Right.
But you chose that.
Hey, you're not wrong.
So, but yeah, I think we're just putting a little more, you know, a little more gloss on what it means to transition. A lot of times, you know, they go to ALS and we think that that's the transition. I mean, that might be the start, but we need to make sure that we're making them feel like an NCO.
Absolutely.
And giving that impression to them. So,
yeah, I think that's great. Because when you become an NCO, you are not solely focused on yourself anymore, right? You're focused on your airmen now.
Absolutely.
So making them feel like important, like ALS is fantastic. It teaches you how to get there, but making them feel special, like they did it and now they have to, you know, keep earning it every day to show their airmen how to get to that point as well. I think that's super awesome way to.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, sometimes you don't know what you want or where you want to go until you see somebody else do it.
Absolutely.
So a lot of where I kind of ended up in my career, it was based on, wait a minute, I like what that person's doing with that. I would love to get a chance to do it myself.
For sure.
You don't know what you want until you want it, right?
Yep, yep.
But if you see something and it's being highlighted as something such as a big deal, for me, I got to go to Chief Master Sergeant Beausoleil's chief induction ceremony.
That
was the first thing I ever, I didn't even know what a chief really was until I went to that. And I'm like, man, I wouldn't mind being a chief one day. But I was inspired by a ceremony.
Yeah.
To be that, well, why can't we inspire our young airmen to be NCOs through a ceremony? So that's kind of the thought process behind it.
I like that. I like that. Would you appreciate an NCO induction?
I definitely have gotten similar feelings, a lot of inspirational feelings from the different ceremonies that I've been able to go out and shoot. I mean, obviously, I'm there working, right? I'm taking photos and doing all kinds of stuff. But it's definitely been pretty awesome experiences to get to go to each one of those, whether or not it's like the senior ones or the Master Sergeant releases or the chief induction ceremonies, things like that. So it's definitely been really cool. I don't know if you'd make all the new staff sergeants get mess dress. I don't know.
No, it wouldn't be that kind of ceremony. Okay. And I think the key to it is keep it simple.
Right.
But make it special. Okay. I mean, I'm thinking like let's roast some pigs type stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Uniform. You know, we're not talking about mesh dress and, you know, these amazing dinners and $60 plates and stuff.
Right.
No, we're talking about, hey, the sole focus is on these inductees, you know, the NCO creed, you know, maybe some type of ceremony where they walk through the arches, something that signifies that growth and that development. But when we start talking about, hey, we're going to rent out ballrooms, I would rather just do it on the beach or something like that.
You know hands what I mean?
Down.
And call it a day. But something simple that's not going to have to require a bunch of fundraising.
Yes.
And cost, but we can still do it in a way that recognizes that the transition. And that's the plan we're trying to develop now. So I'm going to be working with the 5-6 5-6 Council. Because they're NCOs already. What better people to kind of commemorate it than having those that are already serving in that position now to kind of lead that induction?
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
So that's the plan. So, see how it materializes.
With the holidays coming up, we have a bunch of events happening so that we can have the Tyndall Airmen and their families and their children all come out and partake. We have like Breakfast with Santa coming up.
Santa is super popular. I went last year. Like I almost couldn't get in. I'm like, I thought as a command chief, I was going to be hooked up. No, sir.
Thank you special.
They got bouncers at the door and everything. Where are your tickets? Like,
who do you like, know here? My,
you can call somebody. I'm like, who do I call? Colonel Watkins?
Elves.
I couldn't call Colonel Watkins. He was in there eating. Dang. I had to fight for my life.
Oh my gosh. That's so,
but
so
that was
funny.
A great event. It's, and that one, that sells out every year. Matter of fact, I think they sold out again.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
What else is coming up?
New Year's.
New Year's. We just had the Golden Age party. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. That was the Golden Age party is when we bring veterans from our local veteran nursing home and from around the community. And we have a holiday party for them. And it just brings back like nostalgia for them to experience a military, you know, with the honor guard. Absolutely. And they get lunch and they get to mingle with active duty members and cross generation stories, right? Absolutely. I love that so much.
Yeah, they had a great time. It was we did the Cupid Shuffle.
I saw you with the Cupid Shuffle.
I know. I figured it out when I got home. My kneecaps were sore, but it was a good time. And I mean, we had somebody in there that was first sergeant back in 1940.
Yeah, he was like 103 or something.
Yeah. I mean, still had some bounce, you know. And then we had the 101-year-old Coast Guard female that she's I've seen her two times, you know, the last two events. And so that event is very popular. And it's also great to get to see some of our Team Tyndall Airmen and the fact that they're not out there just because they have to be. They chose to be out there and they're dancing with them and talking to them. So it's always good just to see the spirit of Tyndall at something like that event.
So we've been talking to a couple different airmen around base, asking them what they want to know from you specifically. And you are like the head honcho for the BTZ boards, correct?
Correct.
So in order for an A1C to stand out among his peers, what do you think, in your opinion, can make that happen for them?
I think one of the big things that I tell airmen, my advice to them is, one, don't try to make BTZ. We don't need that kind of leader.
Yeah.
Do it because it's the right thing to do. And a lot of times it's easier for me to recognize those who perform naturally as a senior airman. And a lot of the times, here's the big thing about BTZ. Everybody who goes up for BTZ at the wing level is going to have great records.
Yeah.
They're going to have good records. That's part of what makes you eligible for BTZ.
Yeah.
But what you can't falsify is a natural born leader when it comes to them talking.
Yeah.
And being able to speak about the Air Force mission, being able to tie current events and some of the things that they've done to better Team Tyndall or whatever installation they're at. I think the board tends to be the make or break on that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for us, this cycle, we're not doing a board because of the holidays and just people's availability and being fair and equitable. If a lot of people can't make the board, that's unfair because they would traditionally get the board average.
Right.
I would also say being personable is important because you're at a point. Those people that make BTZ, they're probably going to be staff sergeants within the next year or so.
Yeah,
so
that's
crazy.
So
we need them to be able to articulate things, you know, as a leader. But if we're really talking about tangible things, it is to, one, kill it at your job, and two, find a way to show your ability to lead outside of your duty section. That's the best way to explain it. You know, there's some people who inherently have an ability. I spoke on one of them earlier, Airman Salas, who she actually got BTZ. I mean, there's a bunch of them out there.
Oh, that's awesome. I love
Airman
her.
Rouse out in Comm Squadron. We've had multiple, pretty much every group, all groups and our mission partners, they've all had BT recipients. And the one thing that they all had in common is they found a way to show their ability to lead, not just within their duty section by being innovative, but also outside of their duty section, whether that was coming up with great ideas to have airmen's attics, whether that was coming up with innovative ways to help units without the helpline, or mm-hmm. you know, in the med group, you know, coming up with ways to lead in their organization through booster clubs and things of that nature. Those are those telltales. The other thing is, if you can win an award in technical school, that's going to put you a level ahead. And another thing that sticks out hugely is honor guard.
Oh yeah,
honor guard. I would say that a good majority of our BTZ winners traditionally have some type of honor guard experience.
Yeah.
However, starting next year, and this is probably a good time to talk about this, we're going to change the criteria on what the BTZ package look like. So traditionally, we would talk about job performance and whole airman concept. We're changing it to the major performance areas, just like you would on an enlisted performance brief. It'll be about managing resources, leading airmen, the mission, and improving the unit. Those four major graded areas, those are the things we're going to focus on, because that's what the Air Force is focusing on. And so we want to be in line with that, that if you're not meeting those performance areas, you know, in line with what the Air Force is saying are leadership qualities, then you don't deserve to make below the zone.
Nice.
The other piece to it is, I would tell people, you know, below the zone, a lot of people get caught up in it, but it's only a 6-month early promotion.
Yeah.
So don't make it an end-all be-all. Wayne Sharp came in as an airman basic. I went up for BTZ. I did not get it, and I'm doing just fine.
Yeah.
And so can they.
Well, Chief Sharp, thank you so much for stopping by. We really enjoyed this conversation, I think.
It was a lot of fun.
We hope that you would want to come back. This wasn't so bad, was it?
No, I had a great time. I'm just really excited to see, you know, to see this happening. It goes in line exactly what Colonel Watkins is trying to do, and getting that message out in as many avenues as possible, this being one of them in a creative way, I think is a big deal. So I'm excited that, you know, the reactions you get from it.
This episode of Lightning Within 5 is brought to you by the 325th Fighter Wing Public Affairs Shop. For all the latest news, photos, videos, and more, check out our Facebook page, Instagram, and our official website at tyndall.af.mil.
As Senior Airman Dostis leaves us for bigger, better things into the civilian world, we welcome with open arms our Staff Sergeant Stefan Alvarez. Welcome.
Thanks. I'm excited to take over and make some good changes.
Changes, huh? When are you going to change?
Whatever you did, I'm just going to do it better.
It's going to be pretty tough. Tell us about yourself, Stefania.
So I've been in the Air Force coming up on 10 years now. Whole time I've been PA. Had a couple of good assignments. Had combat camera, Korea, here. Done a lot, seen a lot.
You have an awesome wife.
I do. She's pretty awesome.
And an adorable little girl.
Mm-hmm. It's a baby.
Yeah, she is. She is the highlight of my day every day.
Which one?
Both.
Yeah.
Aw, good answer, Steve. Cop good out. Answer.
But as far as my favorite assignment or favorite base, I loved Korea.
No, you didn't. Wait, which Korea? Kunsan, right?
Kunsan, yes.
Oh my gosh.
You dirty dirtbag, you.
I loved Korea. I know, depending on who you talk to, it's two extremes. People either hate it or they love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those people that loved it.
My all-time favorite was MacDill. Second would be Tyndall. Mm-hmm. It just so happens they're both in Florida.
Yeah.
But MacDill is centrally located in the heart of Tampa, so there is so much to do there. But I do think, I wholeheartedly believe that Panama City is going to turn into that kind of, maybe not such a megaplex like Tampa, but after the hurricane, we realized we needed to rebuild not only the base, but the community. So they're bringing a lot more things into the community on our side and the beach side. So I think it'll grow, and I think it'll be better.
Yeah, I can see it definitely kind of being like, what's that base that's by like SpaceX and NASA and stuff? It's a Space Force base now.
Oh, Patrick. Yeah.
I can see Tyndall and Panama City eventually being like that.
Yeah. Does your family have any holiday traditions?
Yes, we do. We kind of adopted like a German Christmas tradition since I was born in Germany. I lived there for the first couple of years.
Is it the pickle?
is the Christmas pickle. Yes,
I do the pickle too.
What is the Christmas pickle?
What?
I lived there for 2 years and I've never heard of this.
Come on.
So German Christmas tradition. On Christmas Eve, the night of Christmas Eve, when everybody goes to bed, you know, mom or dad will hide a pickle ornament in the tree.
Not an actual pickle.
It's a pickle ornament. It's like a little plastic or
right,
little ceramic pickle. And when the kids wake up in the morning, whoever finds the pickle either gets an extra present or they get to open their presents first.
Yep.
Mm. I feel like there would be a lot of fighting if it was like an extra present. Like that would get kind of aggressive.
It does get chaotic when you actually can't find the pickle, though. That happened to my kids 1 year. They're like, "You didn't even put it in the tree." I was like, "Yes, I did. I know for a fact I did." And they ripped the tree apart, and it was hidden in some branches. And they're like, "Now you owe us both presents." And I was like, "No,
that's not how it works."
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever though have issues because you have cats? And I've had Christmas trees before, and I also have cats. They like to get into that Christmas tree. Do your cats ever get in there and steal the pickle before anybody else can?
Wait, let's emphasize, Sergeant Alvarez doesn't just have cats.
He has dog cats.
They're so huge.
Yeah, they're massive.
Yeah, one's like a Maine Coon mix, the other one's a Bengal mix, and then our little tuxedo cat is like a normal domestic short hair cat. She's tiny.
Yeah, but they're size of small children.
Yeah, the Maine Coon.
They do scare me.
The Maine Coon is 21 pounds.
Oh my god!
And
your cat weighs more than my weenie dog.
Your cat almost weighs as much as my kid.
That's crazy. Yeah,
he's 21 pounds, and then the Bengal is 16.
Oh my god! Jeez. How much cat food do you guys go through?
Not that much.
For anybody actually listening to us, if you ever have a chance to do something for the holidays, go to St. Augustine, Florida. It is so pretty and magical, and you can sit on a trolley and ride around the whole historic part of St. Augustine and look at the thousands and thousands of Christmas lights they have up. It is such a good experience.
You've been here a long time. You've been to St. Augustine?
I have a couple of times, yeah. I enjoyed it. They have lots of like old like coastal forts and stuff that have been here for you know, hundreds of years.
I feel like a lot of people will recommend St. Augustine. I've just never been there. I feel like I got into like the Florida like twilight zone where I just stayed in Panama City for too long. I've been to like Pecola. I've been to like Tallahassee, Tampa, Orlando. But I had to like break myself out of like the everyday grind and loop to actually go to those places. I know. Yeah. I'm close to those places. Besides like Orlando, it's like there's not a lot in Tampa that like I need to go see.
Right.
Like Orlando's got the parks, right? And like I kind of wish I'd gone to Miami because Miami's Miami. But like Jacksonville, I'm not trying to hate on Jacksonville.
No.
But I haven't heard anything that's like you need to go see this at Jacksonville.
But
you can cut all this out of the podcast.
You don't realize how far away Miami is, or like Key West. That's like a 12-hour drive from the Panhandle.
Yeah,
it's really bad.
It's really, really far.
Hard pass. So I sadly say goodbye to Airman Dostas. He was the only one brave enough in the office. Even Alvarez didn't support this podcast. He was the only one brave enough to embrace my crazy ideas when it came to media, and the podcast was one of them. So I am sad to see him go. We made a good team, I think.
I think so too.
Yeah. I will miss our banter, sir. Is there any last words that you would like to say to our listeners?
No, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss the podcast. I'm going to miss Jen. I'm going to miss Stefania over there. For now, what you're going to be called till I leave. Now, hopefully everything keeps growing, and it's going to be pretty cool to see this base again in the next 5 to 10 years when hopefully everything's pretty much done, and hopefully you guys take this podcast and really run with it. I know you guys got a lot of really good ideas brewing for media relations and things like that for the Tyndall Public Affairs Shop, and I know the social media has been blowing up recently. We got a lot of great shooters in this office. So hopefully we can keep pushing out great content, and you guys, hopefully, I'm pretty sure you guys won't miss a beat the second that I leave. So yeah, that being said, Sunny D out.
Thanks for listening to Lightning Within 5. Let us know your thoughts, your comments, your opinions. Just write us or comment us. We appreciate you all for listening, and have a great Team Tyndall day.